Jobs and industries change over time. We have to accept that. We have. I mean, for example, the construction of a steam locomotive is a rare thing these days anywhere on the planet. So we adapt. We make use of newer technologies and try to put people to work in jobs that did not exist so long ago. The Sustainable Valley Technology Group is involved in that very effort in the Rogue Valley, and SVTG puts on a special celebration this weekend observing Techtoberfest, complete with beer and pretzels, at Bingham Knoll in Jacksonville. Let's talk about the event and the regular work of Sustainable Valley. Heather Stafford is the executive director. Another guest will join us toward the bottom of the hour, but here's Heather now, and thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
It's great to be here.
So tell us a bit about Sustainable Valley, and let's talk about the name, first of all. As you were explaining before we came on the air, there had been a bit of a back and forth about what gets said after Sustainable Valley Technology.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a tricky acronym. So SVTG is what most people use as the acronym, but really it's Sustainable Valley Technology Group is the nonprofit that that was created going about 4 years ago in 2010 to create living wage jobs to spark an innovation economy that was ripe for having. We have a lot of tech companies here. There's a lot of the makings to be a leader in sustainable technology development, manufacturing, and use some of the transition skills that we have with our Great Forestry past and use a lot of those skills and workforce for the next generation of innovative companies.
Let's go there first, I mean, because that's a great point to bring up. I mean, there are existing industries that people associate with the Rogue Valley, the growing of pears, the cutting of trees, and milling of the lumber. And other wood products as well. And so it's not just a matter of completely supplanting what has happened in the past. There's also some integration at work there as well. Explain some of that, if you would.
Well, sustainable is a tricky word because it can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. So to us, sustainable means, you know, we really like those emerging technologies that create more sustainability in the way that we use our natural resources. So we're not limited to that, but we're also looking for companies that are interested in staying in business and keeping jobs in the region. So our focus is not on those big ramp up hockey stick type venture deals that sell out and leave the region. So really are an economic development initiative in the form of an accelerator.
I have to giggle. I mean, hockey, you're not talking about the making of hockey sticks. You're talking about the actual growth curve
of the company.
Yes.
Sorry, it's lingo for, yeah, I apologize for that.
But that's a great picture, though, when you think about it. It's like, well, we started small and then we went zoom. So it's the shape of a hockey stick.
It is. And that's why e-commerce and IT and software, they have that kind of growth potential because they have very little costs involved and a high upside for when they get purchased. So it's very interesting for investors because they can get a quick turnaround on their money and the multiplier is pretty high. But they don't tend to create a ton of jobs where it is that they grew. Where they grew up. So the companies that we work with in our accelerator, we've got seven graduates this year, and all of them are traded sector companies. Many of them are in advanced manufacturing, agricultural technologies, clean tech. We do have a couple of e-commerce video type companies as well, but they are also interested in staying here and creating jobs. So
let's go to the agricultural part. That's really interesting because people don't generally associate high technology with agriculture, but here you are.
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's coming?
Well, where we're really looking at, Southern Oregon has quite the strength in agricultural technologies, and I think what we have the potential to become an agricultural tech hub for the state of Oregon. We have a lot of innovative companies here doing things with aquaponics, aeroponics, container gardening, urban gardening, all those ways to take what we do with natural resources and make them more efficient, which are, these are things that we have to do as a planet to support a growing population. Food deserts exist all over the place, so we want to support those companies that are looking at creating technologies that go vertical with our space. You know, we're landlocked in a lot of ways, using our natural resources, depleting the soil. Water is an issue. So one of our companies, Grovolution, has got a technology that's using recycled shipping containers and can grow up to 1 acre per shipping container all year round with aeroponics. So fresh vegetables, protected from your GMO blowover. There's a lot of really interesting things. Plus, the units are 98% water efficient. So for things like disaster relief, if you wanted to put these things, instead of sending perishable food, you could load one of these onto a truck and away they go. And by the time they get to the disaster, everything inside of it is fully grown and you can drop it off and still it grows.
Wow. Is this the aeroponics you mentioned?
Yeah.
It is. Okay. Because I'm used to aquaponics and hydroponics. Hydroponics is just you growing without soil. Aquaponics involves the fish, too, mm-hmm. right? So you're growing fish and plants at the same time.
Yeah, so what they're really looking at are ways to do biomimicry, so to take the way that nature sustains itself naturally and replicate that with sustainable technologies.
Do you feel like at some point you hit a critical mass where you get like the Silicon Valley, and you came from the Bay Area, mm-hmm. so I'm sure you're used to what goes on down there, but do you get to a point where there are enough brains and people and they talk to each other often enough that it sort of inspires this, it's sort of like a nuclear reactor coming up to full speed?
That's the hope. Yeah, I mean, that's why events like Techtoberfest are so important, because, you know, it's a celebration of technology. It's an awareness event for a lot of what's going on already here and a lot of the possibilities that are coming our way as a region and as a state and as a world.
Okay, good tease into the break to talk about Techtoberfest. We'll get more into the specifics of what will be happening at Big and Knoll in Jacksonville this coming weekend at Techtoberfest, put on by Sustainable Valley Technology Group and some other entities as well. Heather Stafford is the executive director at Sustainable Valley, and our guest in the exchange, Matthew Patton, will join us a little bit later, and you can join us when we return from this break as we talk about tech and Techtoberfest on the Jefferson Exchange. Back with you in a minute 25. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are talking today about technology and the growth of technology jobs through the offices of Sustainable Valley Technology Group, for which our guest, Heather Stafford, is the executive director. And we're also talking about the event coming up this weekend, which is called Techtoberfest, which evidently is beers, pioneers, and engineers, as Heather was just telling me, gathering at the Big and Knoll campus in Jacksonville, the site of the old Jacksonville School, which has been converted into a whole bunch of other stuff. We'll talk about that coming up with Heather Stafford. Matthew Patton, the CEO of Cutler Investment, will join us in a couple of minutes. You can join us now. Questions, comments, things to say about the growth of technology industry in the region. Welcome at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Is this the first Techtoberfest for Sustainable Valley?
It is. For the past 2 years, we've done an event called the Venture Forum, which was quite a bit more traditional, and we decided to shake it up a bit and give our technologists a forum that was a lot more fun, a lot looser, where it was more like a trade show or more of an unconference. So there are speakers there. Six of our entrepreneurs will get up and present their businesses from 5 to 6, and then we've got four visiting futurists from all over, one from Canada, one from the Bay Area, and a couple folks, one from IBM and one for transportation from Eugene, coming to do futurist talks on the future of transportation, healthcare through life sciences, and wearable technologies and smart cities. So what in 20 years, what might these industries look like based on trends we see today?
I noticed the term Techtoberfest has been used before. You didn't coin it yourself.
We did not coin it. I saw that after we coined it, or thought we coined it. There is another group in Canada, I believe, that's doing a Techtoberfest event. But we just say more the merrier.
Isn't that annoying, though? You come up with something you think is a great idea and discover somebody else did it already.
Just there are no new ideas.
One quick Google search, right? So interesting that some of the discussions that the futurists will have then. You talked about transportation. What kinds of changes we talk about? We're talking about changes brought about by things like smartphones, where you got like Uber and Lyft going on and people giving each other rides, or are we talking about something a little more profound than that?
There's that, and there's also the rise of the electric vehicle. There's, you know, what does that imply for the future? how do we get around? What do transportation systems look like? How do we support, you know, it's always about the population surge and natural resources. So, you know, everything kind of revolves around that, but we'll just have to see what his talk is. It's Mark Frohmeyer, from Arcimoto, and he's done a couple TED Talks already, so I mean you can kind of get a baseline of what it is that he's about, and EV, electric vehicles, is very central to the talk, but that's where it starts.
And also wearable technology?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wearable technologies is really interesting, and most people think that's like shiny clothes or something, but it's actually self-powered semiconductors that sensors that do various amounts of things. So it's basically like a Band-Aid size computer that's powered off your own, the energy of your body. So it doesn't require a power source, and it can be programmed to test all kinds of things. So it has implications, you know, for all the Trekkies out there. It's kind of like a tricorder, but something that you stick on things. So, you know, if you wanted to test foodborne pathogens in a box of food or a crate of food, you could stick one of these stickers on. It would tell you.
So when talk about the formation, let's go back to the beginning of Sustainable Valley and how it actually got started, because I noticed this is not it's a bit different from the So Ready type structures of the past. Now, you are located in the same place as So Ready, is that right?
We are, yeah. We're co-located with So Ready, with our LWIB, which are our Regional Workforce Investment Board, and our Governor's Regional Solutions Team. Employment Department's moving in, and Travel Oregon is also there, Travel Medford. So it's quite the collaborative group. We're sort of innovating by running into each other, and it's really nice. But what we bring to the mix, So Ready does traditional economic development. And our job council and workforce partnership do workforce development. And what we really focus on is business development. So really honing in on those traded sector industries that are going to create living wage jobs here in the Rogue Valley, and working to economic, we call it techonomic gardening maybe. You've heard the term economic gardening, but it's really about growing your own and starting early. So we look all the way as early as junior high and high school to start inspiring innovation and the future generation of entrepreneurs.
But we're So Ready, for example, and this is Southern Oregon Regional Economic Development, Inc., receive some government money. Do you get any grants like that from government agencies?
Not standing ones, no. We're a 501c3, so we're a traditional nonprofit. So we always fundraise. So we're looking. We do get state support from Business Oregon, and we just won an SBA grant for $50,000, and that's a spark for a longer term relationship, which we're very excited about. They really want to get into the innovation field in areas that they consider underserved. So not in a big metro region, not serving your traditional population, that the hockey stick growth curve that I talked about,
right.
Looking at advanced manufacturing and ways to grow different kinds of industries through business acceleration.
So outside Portland, for example.
Exactly.
Got it. So $50,000. Well, I'm just curious about the whole the nonprofit aspect of things. I became aware of this a little more recently because a friend of mine from college is also running a nonprofit trying to nurture tech businesses in the St. Louis area.
Oh, great.
So it's interesting that nonprofits are the ones that are taking this on now, rather than have it be a sort of a quasi-governmental operation like the usual economic development apparatus.
Yeah, well, it is true community development if you think about it. I mean, I liken it to preventative health care, right? I mean, you can put Band-Aids on a lot of things when there's a lot of problems, but to get upstream on the issue and what are the causes of systemic poverty? What are the causes of crime and mental illness? And I mean, there's just this whole spiral effect. And I think what we really want to do is change all that from the cause, the root cause of it, which is, you know, people aren't inspired. They want to do what they want to do. They want opportunities. They want living wage, high-paying jobs, and we have to start now. We have to start with this generation.
So, living wage, high-paying jobs. How much progress has been made toward that in the time that Sustainable Valley has existed?
Well, the tricky thing is it sounds great. You go and you visit the Bay Area and you look at, you know, Plug and Play and all these big tech accelerators and Techstars and Y Combinator, and it seems incredibly easy. So we did have a few years of trials and tribulations of trying to use that model and plug sort of a square peg into a round hole here in Southern Oregon. And so we really had to ourselves innovate and say, well, what's going to work for our region? And so we opened our program up more virtually and made it more available to almost any traded sector industry. So we have artisan food companies, we've got ag tech companies, e-commerce companies, people doing advanced manufacturing, inventors, engineers, all kinds of potential business people. So we really have to just be responsive to the customers and the people that we're seeing who want to grow businesses here. And what industries do they want to grow those in? And work with So Ready and the Rogue Workforce Partnership to create a real ecosystem of innovation.
So is there some weeding out, some sense of like, well, this doesn't really fit the Sustainable Valley molds, let me send you back over to the So Ready guys, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, So Ready and they help with the Angel Conference, and so we feel like we're a bridge between your Small Business Development Center, which are located in, and very few people know about the Small Business Development Centers, and I don't know why. They're amazing services. If you don't know anything about a business plan, if you don't know anything about financials and marketing, they have free counselors there that you you can go see. It's free to register, free counselors. It's a great resource to start.
And they located at Southern Oregon University.
Yeah, in Medford. And there's also one in Grants Pass at RCC. So those services are free, and it's a really great place to start. So, but I would say once you kind of graduate from those services, then that's where you would apply for an accelerator. And the space in between your Small Business Development Center and your angel conference, where you're ready to take on $250,000 investment, that's the space that we get folks ready for.
All right, so let's get to a couple of bits of terminology here. Accelerator, for one thing, you've mentioned a couple of times.
Yes. There's incubators and there's accelerators. And traditionally, the difference is your incubator has office space, and they give you free rent for a while, and they give you some support services, maybe access to a few mentors, that kind of thing. But it's more about the space. And the accelerator model is really about targeted mentoring and targeted seed money to get companies from you know, where they are now to where they want to be. And a lot of times it's tough love. A lot of times they don't know what they don't know. They think they just need money. That's not what they need. They need a lot of they need basically a 12-week MBA for entrepreneurs and a lot of connections and networking.
So are there time limits? For example, when you're bringing somebody into the incubator and saying, okay, we're going to give you the office space and the nurturing and all that stuff, is there a time where you say, okay, we're done here. You move out now and get your own place.
I think with an incubator model, yes, that's the hope. But we don't have enough of one kind of industry to really make that model work. We did try that a couple of years ago, and it's it was really too many different people. Those work really well in an urban setting or where everybody's doing the same kind of work. You know, programmers, for example, work really well together. You can put a foosball table and a coffee machine, and everybody's happy and everybody's innovative. but here, when you've got such, you know, you've got solar companies and ag tech companies, e-commerce companies, everyone's doing something different. We really had to do something targeted for each company. So our program's totally custom.
We are talking about nurturing and growing technology business in the Rogue Valley with Heather Stafford, the Executive Director at Sustainable Valley Technology Group. And we're also talking to her about this weekend's coming Techtoberfest. Another guest joins us now. Matthew Patton is the CEO of Cutler Investment. And Heather, you're going to need the headphones to be able to hear him. Matthew, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you very much.
And let me invite our listeners again to join us at 800-838-3760 as we discuss the attempt to grow technology business around the region. 800-838-3760 around the region, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Matthew, tell us about what you've experienced in recent years watching the attempt to boost tech business in the Rogue Valley.
You know, we've been very excited to partner with SoReady in the past and now with Sustainable Valley to really see that the tech sector start to blossom here. And Techtoberfest is obviously just an extension of that, another opportunity to really highlight that to your listeners and give them an opportunity to see what has really been a quiet buildup of technology firms and a real extension of what we want to see in terms of high-value jobs coming into the region.
What are some of the obstacles you think that exist to prevent the rapid growth of those high-value jobs?
Well, I think awareness is obviously one of them, and Heather and her group is one of the parties that's really helping us to overcome that. I don't know that I would be an expert on anything specifically about obstacles, but we are very excited about getting the word out and having the opportunity for more people to hear what's going on.
So when you mentioned that I don't know, awareness, is it sometimes tough to tell people, hey, you know, Sustainable Valley, and they say what? I mean, are they often blindsided by even the name of the agency?
I think that's probably true. Heather, how successful have you been in putting that word out there and having more people hear about Sustainable Valley?
Well, I'm on here today, and that's a start. You know, Techtoberfest is a good second step too. But it's just about awareness building and building this consciousness that this is sort of the new economy, right? I mean, a Gallup poll last year in 2013 nationwide found that 7 out of 10 high school students want to start their own business. 7 out of 10. That's
really
70%. So, and less than 25% of them are getting any business development or entrepreneurial training while they're in school. So this isn't something that we're just inventing. This is the new world that's already here, and we're just trying to keep up.
So you mentioned incubators and accelerators. Excuse me. The I think the most recent figure I saw was that, you know, the often thrown out term is like, oh, half of all small businesses fail, or some fraction thereof, some large portion thereof. But I think what I read most recently was that the fourth year is often the toughest one for any business. So is Sustainable Valley still there for a business that is getting into that time of life?
Actually, we'd love to catch them at that time. I mean, our program's so responsive that we have concept companies even that are still working on their intellectual property. And we also have companies that have been in business for 10 years. But the focus is that they're ready to change. They're ready to grow up, kind of, and achieve a new market, sell outside the region, and then create jobs. So we're at whatever stage they're at, where that happens, that's where we'd love to help them.
There seems to be a lot of this kind of thing going on in the Bend area. I mean, a lot of jobs, a lot of money has moved into that area. Do you find yourself in competition with Bend? Do you find yourself trying to learn things from Bend? Both? Neither?
Yeah, I'd say learn things, definitely. I mean, Bend's also geographically isolated, and so the fact that they were able to do that, I credit EDCO a lot with that, their economic development initiative. They invested in it. I mean, you know, the Rogue Valley traditionally doesn't put a whole lot of money into economic development as a practice, and we're struggling with an economy, and they got a lot of transplants from the Bay Area, and they just invested heavily in entrepreneurship. They invested heavily in innovation and acceleration and a lot of initiatives. They did some master plan tech parks, which always helped because they had an infrastructure to move people into. So, yeah, we want to learn from Bend, definitely.
And, of course, Oregon State University Cascades will be based in Bend, is based in Bend. Let's talk about the education part of things, though. I mean, because that seems to get talked about a lot when you're talking about building new businesses, is the ability of the area to provide people ready to work those jobs. Is the Rogue Valley in that kind of situation, or does it have some catching up to do?
I think we have some catching up to do, but it's not that those resources aren't here. It's just that we haven't made the big enough bridge with Oregon Tech. And SOU is in the process of innovating. And for us, you know, their environmental studies and their Center for Sustainability, and a lot of that shows a lot of promise to invent new technologies. So I think we're just, you know, with some of the stuff that RCC is doing, I think as a region, we're starting to pull it together. I feel pretty positive about it.
Matthew, what are some of the things that you're involved in the investment business, right?
Yes, I am.
And so what kinds of things do you try to tell the people? I mean, do you work people on trying to sell them on the virtues of doing business in the Rogue Valley and investing here?
You know, that's a great question. Obviously, when we look at the Rogue Valley, and as we're talking to people about why this is a great opportunity for their money and a great place for them to be investing, obviously the beauty of the landscape appeals to a lot of people. But as Heather mentioned, we are getting a real base of education and a skilled workforce that wasn't there 10 or 20 years ago, and provides us an opportunity to really start attracting people to this area. If you look at the quality of the healthcare, and if you look at the net inflow, we actually have a net inflow of college graduate and hires into this area. And part of that is obviously in the health services, but part of that is attributed to the fact that it's a great place to live, it's a great place to hire people, and it's a great place to build your business.
The sustainable part, though, Heather, when you're trying to bring people into the area and trying to make it still be a great place to live, I mean, is there any discussion given to what's a good level of things where you'd reach that level and think, okay, we're good here, let's not try to advance any further, not turn it into a hockey stick for the whole valley?
Yeah. I think we're not going to be so capable of becoming a Portland or a San Francisco just because of the way our geography is, which is okay. We do want to grow, but we want to grow strategically. We don't want to just, hey, if you have jobs, just come in here, and they turn out to be part-time minimum wage jobs that don't pay health care. You know, I mean, that's not the goal. We want to be intentional about how and where we grow, definitely.
All right, so many things we here to talk about, incubators and accelerators, and what are iGrants, for example?
This year we partnered with MEMS Industry Group. They have a MEMS Congress in Scottsdale, Arizona, here in another 2 months. And they have a competition where they pick people in the sensor industry, entrepreneurs. And Rogue Valley Microdevices here in Medford offers $150,000 of in-kind services as a way, because we don't have a research institute, we're not pumping out PhDs, you know, we don't have a lot of the same kinds of things that, say, a Portland or a Corvallis or a UG, you know, that make those innovative, we have to get a little creative. So our business people are actually stepping up to the table and saying, well, we'll, you know, we have extra time on our in our clean room. You know, let's see if we can incubate some companies.
All right. We'll talk much more about technology, growing technology businesses, and Techtoberfest coming to Jacksonville this coming weekend with Heather and Matthew. We'll come back to the Jefferson Exchange and take your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us. Back on the program with our guests and with you in a minute 30. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking today about technology in the Rogue Valley, the growth of technology business, and the coming Techtoberfest with Heather Stafford, who's the Executive Director at Sustainable Valley Technology Group. We're also talking to Matthew Patton on the phone. He is the CEO of Cutler Investment and the co-owner, therefore, of the Bigham Knoll campus, where Techtoberfest will take place. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the growth of technology-based businesses in the Rogue Valley and anywhere else, for that matter. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. What are your thoughts, your dreams, your concerns about growing high-tech business in the region? 800-838-3760. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Matthew Patton, I want to come back to you and talk a little more just specifically about Bigham Knoll and what's gone on there. People know it as the site of the old Jacksonville School, but much has happened to it through the years. Give us a little history lesson, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. So the building as it exists today is actually the third building that was built on the campus, having lost some of the fire, and this one was finally completed in 1908, housed public school students through 1983. It went through a series of private hands and private schooling before we had the opportunity to buy it in 2007 from Cascade Christian. And since that time, we've tried to turn it into a center for the community, one where all of our businesses here for the economic driver, we also bring things like Oktoberfest, German Heritage Week, Techtoberfest, which is what we're here to talk about today, and really embrace that spirit of collaborative learning in a fun environment and one where we really do enjoy having a lot of people come and hear some of these great speakers that Heather's lined up.
And you've arranged some conference rooms and things like that at the old school?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it's going to be in our main event center, which at one point was the gymnasium, and they're going to have an opportunity to hear breakout speakers, see panel discussion, and actually see some of our great local companies that have created jobs in the area with great innovative products and have an opportunity to see what they're doing as well.
How many people do you expect altogether, Heather, to come to Techtoberfest?
Well, we're not really sure because it's the first year, and there actually isn't much of a capacity limit at the Bigham Knoll because the whole campus is open, so there's tents everywhere. And I think the capacity in the room is about 325. So, I mean, if we got to 300, we'd be elated. But, you know, the more the merrier. I mean, it really is. I mean, tickets are only $25, and it comes with, you know, a free beverage. It comes with all-you-can-eat Oktoberfest food from the schoolhouse brew house over there. And it's just – it's going to be a great time for all.
How many different entities then are involved in trying to attract and nurture businesses in, particularly in the Medford area? Because you mentioned SoReady, you're co-located with them. They're Sustainable Valley, your operation. You mentioned the angel investors operation. We have the angel investor conferences and prizes and awards. And I mean, it gets a little hard to track after a time. I imagine it's a little easier for you because you're in this business. But a lot of checking in with each other, it seems like, has to take place to make sure you're not duplicating efforts, for example.
Yeah, but you know, when it comes to companies, you know, the more available services there are, the better. So I don't think that we're duplicating efforts because we're all at different stages of business development. We particularly like being at that early stage where so many things can go wrong, where they're forming their boards, they're forming their their equity sharing. Lots of things happen badly if they don't know what they're doing during that phase. So we love to get in there, but we also if they're looking to sort of change fundamentally their business model. If they want to become a national brand, and right now they're just a regional brand, there's a lot of the ways that they have to behave and a lot of things they have to know, a lot of relationships they have to be able to do that.
I noticed that one of the go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, I was just going to piggyback on that for a second and say, while Heather said you can't have too many resources, I think that that's what we're really starting to see. And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about EDCO and what they're doing in Bend. What we're finally starting to see here is a recognition that this valley does have a lot to offer, and we have not invested into bringing businesses from the outside and have not invested in, you know, really building up the businesses that we do have here. And we're starting to see that kind of fledgling opportunity now, where we are beginning to see these organizations come together with the resources that these kind of, that these firms need.
What kinds of infrastructure need to be in place then? I mean, for the kinds of businesses you're trying to bring here, I mean, in the not too long ago times when you wanted to bring in a good-sized manufacturing plant, you'd lay out an industrial park with, you know, good-sized water and sewer and electric power and all that sort of stuff, and just hope that if you make the land available, they'll come. Is it something a bit different for trying to bring a high-tech business in? I mean, what are the infrastructure sorts of things that need to be here for them to consider this is a great place to start or move to?
Yes. Go ahead, Matt.
Sorry, Heather. I think one of the things that really this highlights and what Techtoberfest is intended to highlight is maybe we can have a parallel path where we're not just focusing on bringing in people from the outside and, you know, kind of the field of dreams if you build it, but maybe we can also have this parallel track of building up businesses and supporting businesses that are here already, that are homegrown here in the Valley. And that's really what the Techtoberfest is focused on, is highlighting those businesses that have been successful, even though they started here.
All right. And Heather, what do you say about infrastructure?
Well, I mean, of course, we wouldn't mind having a nice big tech park for some of these companies to move in and do some manufacturing. I think we're a little light on sort of your machine shops, some of the supply chain things that these folks would need. We have a whole school pumping out mechanical and electrical and chemical engineers right over the hill. And I don't think that we're doing a good enough job getting those over here, too. And I see that workforce as an infrastructure piece also. So, I mean, it's kind of a tangled web, right? And where do you start? And this is a little bit tricky work, but, you know, certainly reusing some of those empty buildings, especially in downtown Medford and wherever they reside, even if it's a food production facility to produce these artisan foods. I mean, we're kind of short on commercial kitchen space for a lot of the young companies that come out of farmers markets. I mean, there's actually quite a lot of infrastructure needs.
Are there places where people can, you do provide some of this through the incubator, at least give them office space. But I mean, for example, when I think about in the agriculture business, in the winemaking business, there's a place that doesn't grow any of its own grapes, but it handles all the crushing and pressing part for anybody who wants to bring in their grapes in there. Could you have somebody who would act as a middle person like that for some of the businesses you're trying to develop here?
Yeah, that'd be great. And just to clarify, we actually don't do office space anymore. We're a totally virtual accelerator, so no more office space.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't need a cubicle. We decided.
So, all right, when I look at the website for Sustainable Valley Technology Group, I see that you've got a list of some of the places that exist here already, like Harry and David and Eric's and Air Crane and some of the existing businesses in the Rogue Valley. I mean, how much appeal is there to a startup or to a moving company to see who's here already?
Well, if they're in the same industry, then it's great, right? If they're somebody like, Lynx Technologies doing radio frequency stuff, then, or Brammo doing electric vehicles. You know, one of our companies is Rogue Rovers, and she's invented this electric ATV for specialty ag and farming, which is really big here with the pears and the vineyards and all that. It's an electric ATV. It'll have full robotics and full data collection for small and specialty farms, which, you know, your big ag people have a ton of great, cool technology, but your small farms are usually relegated to an ATV if they even have one. Or dogs, right? So she's called it the farm dog, and she'll be rolling it out at Techtoberfest, and people can take a look at it, come sit on it. But it's actually really helpful. You know, Bramwell's going to have a bike there, too, that people can go look at. And those kinds of things, you know, having Bramwell here doing EVs, and you've got Alltrax doing, like, the motor stuff, and all of a sudden you have the makings of an industry. And so it becomes very attractive for new companies to want to come here because all the resources and the supply chain that they're looking for is all here.
In your time in helping develop a business like this, have you run across situations? Is there a lot of head whacking? Like, oh, I never thought of that. I mean, because honestly, when you talk about having electric vehicles in the orchards, I mean, the orchards are a technology or a process that have, it has existed for thousands and thousands of years. And yet there are little things you can do within the orchards that are very, very modern, like you're talking about with the electric
Sensors ATVs. for water conservation and so that you're not, you know, pesticiding your plants to death. I mean, data is king. I mean, it's really true. Whether you're in agriculture or e-commerce or anything, you know, that's the future is what do we do with all this data that we're producing and how can we make intelligent decisions, whether it's our farm or a manufacturing plant.
All right, so what does someone do if they have an idea, they consider themselves an entrepreneur, they got a really clear idea for what they want to do, where do they go first? Do they come right to you?
I would say first stop is the small business development centers. I really think they're a great resource, and they're a great place to start. If you're ready for a business accelerator that's as intensive as ours, then they'll send you to us. Or you can also start at SoReady. SoReady is a great resource, and they call themselves Switzerland a little bit. So they kind of know what's going on in the region, and they can plug you into the right place as well. We're located next to them. I mean, I'm happy to have people just come into the office and say hello. And if they've got a business plan, if you've already got intellectual property, if you kind of have done a lot of this stuff on your own, and you feel like you're ready, come on, let's talk.
But when you say they call themselves Switzerland, why? Because they're neutral?
Yeah, neutral, and they plug people in, and they're sort of centrally located, and they cover both regions, Jackson and Josephine County.
All right, but if somebody comes to you and they have the ideas not completely fleshed out, it's a drawing on a napkin or something, or a beer mat, let's say, from Techtoberfest. If the idea is not that fully developed, then where are you going to send them? Say, here, go here first. Small business development center is certainly one place, but where else might they go to flesh out their idea or just go home and spend more time on it?
The go home and spend more time on it is good wherever they go. So that's my first suggestion. There's also a new center for entrepreneurship at RCC. So for those Josephine County folks at the Small Business Development Center, they've actually got classes with RCC that can teach pretty fundamental. I mean, if you're already in school and you're working on this stuff, that's a great resource as well if you're out there.
All right. When we talk about, though, trying to nurture businesses in one area, and in this case, the Rogue Valley, which is where Sustainable Valley does its work. But the fact is that there's so much interrelation now with the rest of the world. I mean, you've got cases where you might be making something here and figure out, oh, wait, I can make it a lot more cheaply in country X, and therefore we're going to move that operation there. So the idea of the sustainable part, I presume, includes trying to make sure that things continue here.
Yeah. Well, new money into the region is good. I mean, in any way you look at it. But we also have to multiply the money that we're bringing in. So we want our companies to stay. We want them to create jobs. But we also want them to export. I mean, we want them to be traded sector. We want them to bring in money from all these other areas because what they have is so, so cool that they can.
Traded sector. That's a term I meant to ask you about before.
You mentioned
it a couple of times.
It's basically, you know, it's not your retail sector, it's not your coffee shop, unless your coffee shop, you know, has got something so cool that they want to go global with it. So it's those companies that are scalable, that have something that they could take some invention, some business model, something about what they're doing that they can take to other markets.
All right. So the two components, the two major components of the Techtoberfest this week and the Entrepreneur Showcase and the Futurist Forum. We talked a little bit about the Futurist Forum thus far with the transportation with Mark Frohnmayer, the wearable tech with Wolf Richter, life science with Gary Nagamori. What's that all about?
Yeah, what the future of healthcare is going to look like based on things that are happening in life science. And I think that's the technology push that's going to change the way healthcare is delivered, the way we interact with our own healthcare. That kind of thing, biotech.
And then the Smart City session with Keith Brown?
Yeah, well, that's really looking at how we interact, you know, and, you know, you talk about sensors and things like that, but how do you create a smarter city where it's more, where it's set up more effectively for people to live in, work in, thrive in, congestion, like just looking at the city as a system and how do you make that, what does that system look like in 20 years?
How to get people from place to place and which places to have close together. I mean, are we talking about potentially ripping up ideas about urban planning and zoning that we have now?
Well, it's probably less about zoning and more about data, I imagine. It's IBM. So, you know, they're probably going to be talking about cloud stuff and how do we communicate, how do we store our data and use it more effectively.
As you said, data is king.
It is king.
Data is always king. Matthew, any final thoughts that people need to know about Techtoberfest from your perspective as the co-owner of Bighamn Knoll?
Well, no, I think Techtoberfest, and Yavi, you guys covered this very well, but we're excited for the opportunity. I think, you know, Heather said, well, it's our first year. We'll see how it turns out. I think we're going to have a lot of people that come out. We have a lot of really interesting things going on, and to have the opportunity to come listen to some real innovative ideas, you know, TED Talk in nature, and maybe enjoy a beverage or two while you're doing so, we think is probably the sex appeal that's going to bring people out, to have them hear about what's going on. And we're piggybacking on a festival that is, you know, typically brought in between 7,000 and 8,000 people already. So we're going to have a lot of people coming out to hear this, and I'm excited about it.
You mentioned, Heather, earlier about some of the companies, the accelerator companies. You get a chance to mention them all. So which are the six that will be presenting?
So I mentioned a couple of them. So we'll have Wiley's Honey Brews is a fermented honey soda that's natural, made from honey. And we'll also be hearing from Rogue Rovers. She'll be displaying her electric ATV, which is great. And Grovolution will have their a little mini display. We've also got a company called Circle Snap that's doing online video sharing, cloud sharing. TerraSol Organics is doing interesting things with microgreens. They'll have tasting tables set up as well after their presentation. And HowTube is a video, sort of innovative video e-commerce company. I also want to give a plug really quickly for ScienceWorks and Rogue Hack Lab. They're going to have a big display, hands-on walkthrough, let's play as adults with some of this technology, and it should be a lot of fun.
Okay, and Techtoberfest specifically is when, and what's the cost?
It's Friday, the 26th, at 4:30, doors open, and it's only $25, and that comes with all-you-can-eat Oktoberfest food from Schoolhouse Brewhouse, and it's and a beer, if you want one. Beer, wine, or some other beverage.
All right. Heather Stafford and Matthew Patton, thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. Good to have you both.
Yeah, thank you.
Right,
take care. Tomorrow on the Exchange, Rogue Valley Commuter Line at 8 o'clock, Vince Day at 8:30, Confidence in the Media and the Rich and Poor in Congress. And then we'll talk to Roger Hassenflug from Living Opportunities. Our producer is Charlotte Dern. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening and have a great day.